The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And we've been saying this on every podcast this whole week. A is for aggression, and that's how we're feeling here every day, it seems like. So today, we have another new guest on the show. I am very pleased because we like strong women on here. And I was given Susan's name. This is Susan Salazar. I was given her name through Amy Payne, who's been on the show before, and she's done quite well. I believe Susan can tell me this for sure when we bring her in. I believe she qualified for the Arnold. This is a no-nonsense girl, so I'm very happy that we were able to get Susan. Now, Susan is a dual athlete. She's a power lifter and bodybuilder. So we're going to get into a lot of what makes her tick, and I'm very interested to hear her story. So, Susan, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you having me on the show. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. It's been a while, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So why don't you give everybody a little information about yourself and, you know, introduce yourself to Motivation and Muscle audience here.
Okay. Like you said, I'm Susan Salazar. I am an IFBB pro, I guess, women's physique competitor. I started as figure, and then I switched over as the divisions changed. And I am also an all-time world record holder in the 123-pound class. I have a deadlift at 429 that I got actually at the USPA Nationals last month. So I'm really happy about that. I'm also a Navy veteran. I was a corpsman for 6 years. I was stationed on the West Coast mainly. I've been a personal trainer. I'm studying right now currently to do physical therapy. So that's actually my passion right now, other than being a strength athlete. But and that's pretty much it. You know, I just live my life doing what I love to do, which is being in the gym. And like I said, you know, the physical therapy aspect, it's awesome how it all ties in together. Just try to help people and everything, you know, with mobility and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, I live in the gym, and, you know, hopefully with school, you know, I can definitely give back because I've learned so much from so many people that have come into my life. So.
Well, Susan, what propelled you? I mean, when you started, obviously, it was, I believe it was figures what you got in. But what was it about physical culture that got you interested? Was it a person? Was it a thing that happened in your life? I mean, you know, I know, like with Amy, with her mother, how sick she was and how that really propelled her to where she is today. Mm-hmm. Was there a major event that happened in your life, or was it just something you just felt like it was always going to, you know, like with me, it's like, this just seemed like a natural progression to me, even though I never thought I'd even ever touch a weight in my life.
Right, right. Well, actually for me, there was no huge event in my life that happened. I had just recently, before the Navy, I had moved back to El Paso, Texas, which is just kind of, you know, in between jobs. And I went into a local, like, small gym called El Paso Fitness. I was doing personal training in there, and for some reason, I just really fell in love with just trying to help people. And just, I mean, I didn't really know much myself. I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I thought, it's just a small little job, and you know, things happen for reasons. I was, you know, helping different, you know, I had, at that time, I had like two or three clients since I was kind of new. Then next thing you know, one of the guys at the gym was like, hey, you know, you have a pretty nice, you seem pretty athletic. You know, you may want to try this. There's this bodybuilding competition. I'm like, wow, me, you know, I was small, you know, I did, you know, softball and things like that. And pretty much I just I really got into just not only helping other people but myself. I started like really focusing on just trying to lift a little bit heavier weight, and I was getting a little bit more muscle, and there you go, 12 years later I'm I'm here 12 years later.
That's good, though. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's the thing. It's like we all got different reasons why we get into this. But at the end of the day, you know, this is funny because it's not really funny, but it's like I always tell people with the podcast and everything, it's be developing to like a big family now. What I don't see out there a lot of is, you know, there's a lot of with the internet and everything. I think there's a lot of confusion with training now.
Yeah.
And people aren't really sure. And it's like when you can find a personal trainer that's not really blowing smoke up you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something. Right. But I mean, isn't that something you want to hold on to? I mean, you know, I have people here that come here that I train. What they tell me a lot of times is they're very like gun shy of going to new people because here's the complaint I always hear. They hurt me.
Right. Yeah. People are afraid. They're afraid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I see, you can't take a pro level, style of training and try to shove it down a 50-year-old man or woman. It's not going to work, and they're going to fail.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. I had an older guy here. He was 72 years old, and he had all kinds of problems. He had neuropathy.
Wow.
He was a diabetic, and then you know he got his weight down. This guy weighed 430 pounds at one time.
Wow.
And he had, you know, the bariatric surgery and all that.
Huh?
And he got down to like 250, but you know, the skin, everything, it literally is destroyed on him, okay?
Yeah.
And he came here and you know, we got him before he left here, I got him from 260 down to 220.
Uh-huh.
And what I think were the two biggest factors were this. Not only did he lose the weight, but the amount of waist girth that he lost, the sizes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It was to the point he was putting holes in his belt because he didn't want to go out and buy a belt yet.
Yeah.
He was coming down. But here's the thing. Here's the thing where I think is real success with this.
Yeah.
Well, two other things. He didn't have the hand strength to turn the top off.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've seen that. Mm-hmm, definitely.
So what I did with him was I taught him how to do, obviously, some hand work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started out very light with tennis balls and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
And I've got all kinds of grip equipment because I'm like a big grip guy, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I put him on a grip machine.
Oh, wow.
I got him to the point. Check this out. I got him to the point where he was gripping 50 pounds, all right?
Wow.
This guy was crazy. He was crazy. Check this out. He calls me up one day. He goes, "Guess what?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I just crushed the top off of a pickle jar."
Wow.
And I was like, "Congratulations, man."
That is amazing.
Man. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
And you know what it is? It's things like that that you see that you enjoy being a trainer.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this guy has got some real world, you know, rubber to the road stuff now.
Yeah.
And then the third thing, and I'm sure this is a thing that bothers me more than anything, is, you know, people's mental attitude all they do is talk negative to themselves.
Yep, that's right.
I've made people, you know, I've let people go from here for that.
Me too. I'm the same way. I'm the same. So.
Well, you can't have that number one where you're, you know, like this is where I train too, where I do all my training.
Right.
I don't care. I'm one of those people that think that obviously what you think about most you attract.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that bothers me is I don't want, even though he's off the premises, those words are still dangling around in my gym.
Yeah,
I don't want that. So
agree. Totally.
That inner look of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my attitude is this: you're never going to change your outers till you don't change. You know, you have to change your inners to get to that.
Of course, definitely.
But I don't think people really understand that.
No, especially women. I mean, like you said, they're already afraid of coming to somebody new, and then they're very intimidated. And then so for me, like I really just try to connect with them. You know, more like you said, like on an inside level, work on that first, and then just the basics, and then like get them to really, really like connect with you and be like, look, we can do this together. That's my whole thing. Especially like my focus is more like women, because like I said, I like the strength athlete, the female athlete that, you know, is not only strong outside but inside, like you said. So I definitely agree with that 100%.
Susan, do you feel a lot of, I mean, you see both, obviously.
Yeah.
And I've seen both. I find I find women have more baggage with them when they come here.
Yeah, big time. No, yes, I mean you.
But why? I mean, I know what it is. I know relationships, and I know
kids, family,
you know, work, and and it might be family and all that. But I find with single girls, especially, I struggle with them.
So do I, actually. You're right. I mean, you do. You kind of have to separate everything. You're like, look, once you're in here in the gym, you focus on you. Yeah. This is what it is. I mean, they come in talking, like you said, negatively and stuff, and you just kind of have to shut that down. As soon as they walk in, be like, this is you. Let's be positive. Let's work on you today. And that's it, really.
Well, I bet you have probably the same thing I have is this. Did you ever have the feeling, I have it a lot, all right? Mm-hmm. There's a certain way you've done things, and you know when you go in the gym, whether you're training with a partner or you're training alone, which I've become more of a lone wolf. I like it better for me.
Me too. Me too. I agree.
You know, but I have a very hard time at times dealing with that woe is me, and you know, it's like this one did something to me, so now – I'm going to be like this the rest of my life and hate everything. And, you know, when you're used to kind of like training yourself and you know what you need to aggressively get the job done and you have a certain formula you use and you've got to kind of, I don't want to say the sound and like sounding, and I don't mean to sound this way, but it's like, I've got to come down to your level.
Right. No. Yeah, you're right. Definitely.
And do you like me sometimes have a hard time with that?
I do actually. I mean, like you said, when you hear somebody like giving you excuses and kind of like, oh, this is this, you know, and it's just like, first of all, for me, it turns me off. I'm just like, I don't know. Do I really want to work with this person? But then at that point, then I have to set myself aside and say, you know what? This person is here for a reason. So I'm going to try to like do whatever I can to get them out of that mindset, because like you said, it's really, really hard to where it's starting to like, you know, encompass your thoughts and stuff, and you have to be strong enough to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to have to take charge. But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's hard, but you have to really kind of just set yourself aside and focus on that particular person. So.
Yeah, especially like, you know, like I'll be out like ripping stones off the ground the night before. And it's like, you know, you're like either you're not you can't come down from the workout yet, and that's after sleeping the whole night, or you're kind of dog tired, and the last thing you want to hear is like wah wah wah, and it's like, you know, I just want to turn around and like pop you right
in
the head.
No, I agree. It's just like shut up already. I'm done with you. But no, I mean, you have to. They're there for a reason. You know what I mean? And you gotta have.
I agree. And I think we're lucky what we do. Yeah. It's nice to give back to people.
Definitely. I mean, so many people have been like, you know, helpful to me from the beginning. You know, just giving me with free advice and kind of little techniques here and there. And so for me, it's just kind of like that's what I want. I don't do this because I'm trying to make a living. That's, you know, I really just want to help people and be like, if you have a question, feel free to come and ask me. Let's try to work this together. So I love this so much, though. You know,
are people? Do you find being, you know, obviously at the level you're at training, are people intimidated by you?
At first, as soon as I got my pro card, a lot of people, especially like I tell you, women, they weren't wanting to talk to me or come up to me or whatever. But it seems now, like, because I come in, it depends on your attitude. Like you said, you walk in there with a smile on your face, you're looking at people in the eye, you're making contact, hello, you know, you have that positive energy, and then you'll attract people to you. So that for me, it's worked. So that's how I am, you know, all the time when I walk into the gym. You have to have that good mental attitude, and that's it, really.
Wait, let me ask you this now. Are you pretty much specifically, I know you said that you are going in a bodybuilding show. Mm-hmm. Are you pretty much powerlifting? Do you get in any strong women stuff? Or just if it's powerlifting mainly, just tell me how did the history, or how did you get into – What got you into powerlifting, and how long have you done it? You know, what I mean, obviously we know the three lifts, but what lift do you enjoy the most out of it, or is it just all the way across the board?
Okay, wow.
I like asking people that, you know what I do to people usually? I don't put anybody on the spot, but it's like I do this to almost anybody that comes on the show. I'll say to you, Tell me what your favorite lift is and why.
Okay. Well,
all right.
All right.
But tell me how the progression of your life with powerlifting started and what you're into right now.
Well, okay. So like I was a figure competitor for about 10 years. And then I had just recently gotten my pro card with the IFBB. And I was just not going anywhere. I was in placing, I was always last place. And it just, my attitude was just kind of like, okay, I need a break. I need to do something. And at that point, I was stationed in Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii. And so I had, I was at the gym one day at Powerhouse, and then I had a group of powerlifters. Actually, it was a female powerlifter. She was a really good bencher. Her name is Leonetta Richardson and Darren Matsumoto. They were, pretty much well-known in Hawaii as elite-level lifters, in USPA, USAPL and stuff. So they came up to me, and they saw me squatting, and they're like, wow, And I had, those old Ace bandage wraps, really old ones, and they're like, and I was repping 185 to answer your other question, my favorite lift is the squat. I love to squat.
You're the greatest. Yeah. That's mine too.
That's
I
my
love it.
Favorite thing. And so they saw me and they're like, how are you? Small, because I'm 5 foot nothing really. And then I was I'm 5 foot one, and at that time I was probably 115, 120 because I was a figure competitor. So they came up to me and they're like, well, how are you repping 185? I mean, I guess at that point they hadn't seen a girl do that, and I was by myself, no spotter, it was a half rack, and they were making fun of my wraps and everything, and they're like, you probably have a pretty good base, if you little technique here and there, and you can be a pretty good power lifter. So that happened, and I started coming at the same time, meeting them there, and they pretty much showed me everything that I all the techniques, and sure enough, I fell in love with it. I mean, of course, I always loved to squat and stuff, but once I figured out that you can tweak it here and tweak it there and use the wraps and all these things, I was like, oh, I'm in love again, So I actually fell in love with I always like to be strong. I mean, with bodybuilding and stuff, I was able to, get my little small muscles strong. But now with the powerlifting, I knew how to put it all together. It was just amazing. It was a huge, moment in my life. And I was just wow, I was only, I've been powerlifting for now, it's a little over 3 years. And I can say that, bodybuilding was my first sport, and I do love being on the stage, and I love the aesthetics of it, but I just love being strong. I love the feeling of being on that platform. So, within these 3 years, it's only been 3 years, because I know there's a lot of awesome lifters, especially female lifters, that have been lifting for years. And I've, 3 years, and I'm already a world record holder. I mean, that's...
Congratulations. That's all.
Yeah, I'm blessed to have that opportunity and to have met them, and I owe them everything, because the team in Hawaii, they're called Team Mana, and they have an actual gym out there still to this day. And so I owe them everything. I just love to powerlift now. And I think that's going to be my future. Bodybuilding doesn't work out, I'm going to definitely continue. Because you can powerlift till hopefully till I'm 60. So we'll see.
Let's hope 80.
Yeah, okay, 80. Yeah. I want to make it.
That's how I look at things, too.
Yeah,
The nice thing, too, I think where you're going to have an edge, obviously, is with what you're pulling, squatting, and benching, let's face it, you're going to build a hell of a lot more muscle than someone that's just conventionally training.
Definitely.
I would think with the diet and however you're going to get ready for a bodybuilding show, muscular wise, you should blow them right in the weeds.
See, but it could be a detriment to me, because it depends on what they're looking for.
Right, what they're looking for.
And especially in physique, after Dana Lynn won last year, she was a little bit leaner, and now Juliana Malacarne, which she's also from New York. I'm sure you know of her. She's
I know.
Yeah. So now she took over, and she's Miss Olympia, and so her physique's a little bit. Her legs are a lot, thicker and fuller, and so for me, it's like yes, it's going in that direction, because I have big legs. It's always been my issue. They're like your lower body kind of just overpowers your upper body, and so with powerlifting now it seems like it matches. Shoulders look like they're proportionate, and so hopefully because I'm going to hit the stage in next weekend I'll be in Phoenix on the stage. So
holy cow!
Yeah, so we'll
see.
You
got to come back on the show
course,
and tell me
sure.
before the end of the year.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
What is I see the female bodybuilding. You look at the male stuff too.
Right.
Are they looking? Well, obviously we know CrossFit's all the rage right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. And, and I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, me either. I don't want to get into
that. I'm not a big fan because of a lot of things
right.
with it, but. I don't like, before I get into the next question, I don't like the BS that they pulled with ESPN, with WSM, saying they're all on steroids and we can't have them on anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they ought to take about 98 or 99% of the show and flush it, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with you.
If you want to do that, go ahead and do it, all right?
Yes.
That's your deal, all right?
Right.
But, and then they put that crap on, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking at these people here. All right, maybe they're not a 330-pound Hulk.
Right,
but I got news for you. I've been around long enough to know what's going on,
right?
And
know,
it's very hypocritical.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
What I want to ask you is this. Do you find now, in especially at the level you're at in women's bodybuilding, and I guess it all depends what the meat is and all that, are they looking for more of the CrossFit and possibly more of the softer look? You know, obviously they want the muscular and they want the abs all in and all that.
Right.
Or are they looking for just super all out, you know, muscularity, you know, just tie everything in with that?
Yeah.
Or are they looking more for that maybe a little softer look now, or is it just, or does it depend what the show is?
Well, I honestly believe that it probably depends on the show and who the Miss Olympia was prior to that.
Okay.
But I really think that it's actually coming down to more of an aesthetics and a balance thing. You know, it's you can have the muscularity, but sometimes you can be too boxy or, you know, just it doesn't look right. So I think they're looking for more of a balanced physique. And like I tell you with Juliana, kind of like she's a model. Like it seems like they're going back to the classic bodybuilding, like the Corey Everson.
Rachel McLean,
for me, I mean, I love that physique because, like I tell you,
it's
softer. There is muscular, but still very feminine. And I think that's where it's going, you know, for me. And I would really hope that's where the IFBB is going. But it seems like it is with Juliana being the Miss Olympia this year. So we'll see, you know.
I can remember looking. I mean, I think in my taste, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I think women, I like wide shoulders.
Right.
I'm not talking ridiculous.
Right.
All right. And obviously I like the taper and a small waist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a thick, you know, boxy looking waist.
Me either.
I'm talking as a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously legs are beautiful.
Yes.
But to me, a woman that is dressed, if you go out somewhere really nice and she's got a nice dress on and you're dressed to the nines and she's got an, I'm a friggin' pushover for high heels.
Yeah.
Nothing looks better on a, but nothing looks better on a woman than a beautiful pair of calves.
Yes.
A pair of,
definitely.
Right?
Yes. I mean, I feels awesome. I wore a dress last week and I hadn't worn one for a while. And I was like, wow, I love the way this feels. It looks great. You know? Yeah. So I'm with you on that. Definitely.
Now, and that's, I would like to see female bodybuilding, you know, I even with the men's stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm harking way back. I mean, I liked the stuff back in the day when, like, John Grimmick and Larry Scott and guys like that. And even before that, you know, it used to be these guys were like dual athletes where they'd be Olympic lifting and then they'd go in a physique show after.
Right.
I mean, this was, you know, the whole concept of Muscle Beach. I mean, a lot of the guys and gals, you look like at Pudgy Stockton and all these people. That girl was doing strongman stuff before any of these gals are now, right?
Oh, yes.
You don't hear anything.
No, nothing.
And not only that, you know, most of the good Olympic lifters were all handstanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because they had big, powerful upper bodies, and it was like they could go, and they always seemed to have an edge when, you know, the United States at one time during Bob Hoffman and York Barbell years, I mean, we had some hell of – we had great Olympic lifters, and it was never after – you know, Hoffman passed away.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a shame because the United States really doesn't have too much going up on that platform now.
No.
And I truly believe that those guys and gals might be the best athletes in the world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And see, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm actually with doing – I'm actually preparing for, like I tell you, the Phoenix show, which is in next week. And then I have the SPF powerlifting 2 weeks after that. So it's for me, it's my first time doing it, and it's kind of like a journey. I'm trying to show people that you can do this. Like, I mean, being a female, I get so much flack about, like, oh, you're going to lose strength. You know, your squat's going to do this. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just try it. What do I have to lose just to try it? So that's where actually I want to try to get back to being that dual athlete of you can do this together. It does work simultaneously, and you know you're not going to lose any strength. I mean, because if you have the mentality, you have the. I mean, you said that we had the diet already. We have you know the work ethic. If you put all that together, it's going to work. So that's my whole idea. That's why I'm trying to do this together and see what happens. I mean,
well, I think you'll do fine because here's the deal. Well, did you ever notice though the whole world's negative?
Yeah.
It's like I could tell you or someone that, well, I'm going to go, you know, and I'm going to train to go to Russia in 2 years, and this would be the first thing out of their mouth. Why?
Yeah. For what?
What do you mean why? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree.
You know? Okay. Well, why do you sit on your ass watching TV, drinking beers and popcorn, and you can't even button the top of your pants?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely.
So,
yeah.
You know what it is? I think, and I say this to everybody. I don't care what your parents had done.
Right.
You know, some parents. My dad used to box. He was quite athletic. My mother. Used to ski, but I wouldn't call her an athlete, right?
Yeah.
Nice physique, you know, all that. And it's like myself and my two brothers, my sister's in martial arts. Now,
My
I told you about Jimmy. He he died from muscular.
Right.
And I think the whole thing with Jimmy, obviously with why I'm where I am now with everything dedicated in his honor, you know, things like that make a mark on a child.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But not only that, I truly believe lifters, I don't care how we want to arrange them in the pecking order, I think there's something about us there, and I don't know if we can understand it. I think it's in our DNA. I'm not kidding you. I say that, you know, and just because your parents didn't do any or not, there's just so – why did it happen to Susan? Why did it happen to Eric? What event, right?
Right.
What caused that? So I just think – all of us in this whole fraternity, however you want to arrange it, there's something very special about it. And it's like people that don't do it and like to criticize haven't a clue to what physical culture is all about and how it's more than just a physical thing. It's a mental thing that if you can learn to capture the essence of this sport, I truly believe, while I'm doing it sitting here with you right now, I think you could be a success with whatever you do.
I'm the same way. I totally agree with you with that. I mean, it just depends, like you said, with the mindset. And because my parents, like you, well, your parents were you know, athletic. Mine weren't. They weren't athletic at all. I'm like my mom doesn't like that I do strength sports, but I still do it because I love to do it. If you have the love, I mean, you can do anything, you know. So I agree with you 100%.
Did you ever notice, though, too?
Yeah.
Like this. I think, well, I know with any relationship, especially if it's a female, you know, someone that I want to be around or date. Did you ever notice that your passion that you have for training is like the passion you have with everything?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it does.
And I think sometimes it can be overwhelming for the other
people. Oh, no, too much. But, yeah, I've been called insane and crazy, and I'm like, that's why I'm single, because I can't, you know, I'm always at the gym. The gym is my, you know, my partner, so.
And it's really, to me, it's like a safety net, too.
No, I agree. I mean, anytime I'm having like a rough spot in my life, where do I turn? I'm always at the gym, and it seems like it's consistent. You know, the iron never like lets you down. You know what I mean? You're there.
That's what I say.
So,
that's it.
Like,
it never lets you down.
It never.
When I walk into the gym, it's the war with the weights, and when, you know, things are bad. No, you're right. And you know why that is too, though?
Yeah.
It's because it's such a part of you. You know, to me. If I couldn't lift iron, it'd be almost like losing arms on me.
Me too. I agree with that.
completely. Isn't that scary?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
depending on it.
I'm grateful every day for my health because I'm thinking, if I couldn't do this, what would I do? I don't know what I would do. You know what I mean?
I would lose it, man. I'd be going off a cliff somewhere.
Me too. I'd be right there with you.
But let me ask you this now. Obviously, you're definitely a prime example of what a woman can do, and I'm not, and I don't want to even leave it to a woman. Mm-hmm. But since I am talking to a professional here, you know, we hear about role models, and I don't think there's a lot of them like there used to be. I think there's more of a mindset where me,
right.
Screw you, mm-hmm. all this.
Yeah.
Do you see in your sport, especially good examples? I mean, obviously, you want to be an example, obviously, from what I've gathered from you just talking to you in this short time.
Uh-huh.
What do you see? Do you see the me all over, or do you see people that really want to make a difference and help others in the sport?
Well, it depends. Like, for bodybuilding, it just seems that it is very and I don't want to say selfish, but it is very, like you said, me. That's the thing that I get from the bodybuilding. But for some reason, like I tell you, I think that's why I love powerlifting so much, because it's more of a camaraderie. Like, I have, like, it just seems, ever since I started powerlifting, my teammates were willing to help me just to wrap my knees or whatever. Yep. If I was doing a meet, they were there. And not because I asked them to. They're like, what time is your meet? Okay, we'll be there. You know what I mean? So it just seems like the powerlifting community has so much more like camaraderie, and I love it. I think that's why I like more veered to it, because it seems like it's like a family, you know?
Yes,
I
correct.
I feel like I belong there, and that's the type of person that I am. If someone needs my help, I'm going to help you, though, no matter what it is. So I think that's why in the powerlifting community, definitely there's more of a camaraderie there. I love that. It's just amazing. I love powerlifting.
Well, you know, Susan, that's one thing I've noticed with, like, since we started the podcasting,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a lot of naysayers with that, saying, you know, that's not going to do anything to get the business going and all that. And I'm not a guy that listens to a lot of people.
Good.
Now, look,
but
you know what? If you came to me, you know, and we had known each other, it wouldn't matter if it was 1 month, 6 months, 10 years, all right?
Right.
And you said to me, Eric, I don't know if this would be a good thing to do. I would at least give you the forum to speak your mind to me.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to do what you say, or maybe I take a few pieces out and do it, and hopefully you're not going to come back and say I told you so.
But
you know something? Yeah. The reason why you and I are sitting here talking right now is because I didn't listen to those people.
I agree. Yep, totally.
And I decided that, you know something, I believe that this is something that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we can get a message out there, because my – from what I've seen and the feedback, and I've got a ton of feedback from people, is this.
Yeah.
People are looking for information.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are dying to hear what you would do,
mm-hmm.
what I would do,
right.
and the other folks that come on the show.
Right.
I've had more people now that I've dealt with that now are asking me to do weekly shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, just to let you know, you are the 9th podcast I've done this week.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean,
I usually don't do that,
right.
because I try to do everything on Tuesdays, because you end up rotting your voice out
pretty much. Yeah, I'm sure you're.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of fun, and when I can get people I want on, you know, why not?
Yeah.
But this is what happens when you train and you build yourself mentally year after year, and you get an idea, and obviously you're going to talk to people, but, you know, in the end, you're the best judge of what you want to do.
Yes.
And I'm glad that I didn't listen to anybody and I did this, because this has become like the focal point of the company, of launching the company, mm-hmm. of launching the other websites,
mm-hmm.
and we've got stuff coming down the road that's going to floor you.
Oh,
I mean, I've got right now, if it wasn't a monetary thing, I've got, let's see, I've got 6 things besides 3 different lines of equipment that I use here specifically because I train alone,
uh-huh.
and I don't have anybody to spot
yeah,
me
yeah.
that would be out right now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Literally.
Yeah.
I have stuff. We are going to do motivation and muscle for kids next year.
That's amazing. See, that's where it needs
How do you like
to go.
That?
That's awesome. That is
How do you
good
like
to hear.
That?
I love that. That's amazing.
So, well, here's the deal. 30% obesity in the world. We can't have that.
Yeah, obesity and the diabetes. It's so scary. I don't have kids, but if like my nieces and nephews, it's kind of like God.
Absolutely.
You know, that's so scary to know that. Yeah.
Well, and you know something? When you see a 12-year-old booting insulin, you got trouble there.
Yeah.
And you know something? Nothing's got to be make or break, but it's like this is what I want to do with this show and the people on it. I want to lend a hand.
Yeah.
And I figure if we get 1 out of 10, we've done pretty
That's
good,
a
right?
Great start. Yep, definitely. I agree. Yeah.
So we're gonna get into that, and I've got a lot of other great stuff planned, and it's all because I owe everything to weightlifting.
Yeah, definitely, and that's amazing. Like you said, the younger the better. I mean, because it's gonna help out in the end. So. Yeah.
Well, I got a guy on the show regularly, Steve Helmicki. He helped me when I tore my bicep in Iceland in 2008.
Oh wow!
And he runs a very big place up in Buffalo,
is
probably about 5 or 6 hours from where I am.
Okay.
And Steve's on weekly, and he's great. We built, to get ready for the Husafell stone, excuse me, I designed a steel stone that's as closely shaped to it as possible.
Oh.
You know, I'm talking dimension-wise.
Yeah,
You can't do a volcanic stone, put it that way.
Right.
We did it out of steel, and it's loaded with steel shot. And what I did is I put plate trees on each side. Well, I didn't do it. My friend who I designed it, and he welded it all.
Uh-huh.
You can load – let me think here. 200 pounds on – you can put 10 tens,
wow.
You know, standard plates on on each one. And then, obviously, we fill the steel stone with shot. So, essentially, I can load that stone to 700 pounds.
Wow,
right?
That's amazing.
Well – what we did is we've done 3 designs of it. We call it the Husa Steel 1, 2, and 3. And I gave Steve the second one in return for all the help he gave.
Wow.
So he came down here one weekend. We had a big dinner. We had some cigars bourbon and had a ball, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But here's the point I'm getting to when we talk about the kids.
Yeah.
He trains a lot of athletes. I'm talking pro level all the way down high school. Well, you know what's happened? This show now has caught fire. The kids are all listening to it up in Buffalo. So I was really happy about that because it's like, you know what? Now we get another generation that's coming up.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I used to look to the people that – some of the people that I used to look to now are on the show with me.
Wow.
Now we're like the next generation where the kids that, that, you know, when I looked up to them – now they're going to be looking up to us. And you know what? They've got that 18-year-old, 16-year-old strength, and you know, they've got this energy that's off the wall. They don't have the experience yet.
Yeah, definitely.
But we're giving them that where, you know, something, you're going to bump your head a lot of times.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, here you are.
Yeah, it's a start, you know, definitely a start.
Well, it's great because I want to get them, you know, look – you don't have to power lift. You don't have to do strongman body.
Right.
But you know what? Get your body in motion.
Do something. You know, do something. Yeah. Put that whatever Nintendo thing, whatever the little
computer.
It's like, wow. Go outside. Go outside for a little bit. That's all it starts. I mean, just do that. That's where it is.
Like they say, if you don't move, you rust.
Right.
Well, you know what really blows me out? I don't know about you. Like, I'll be at a restaurant or something, or we'll be somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, one day I was up in – my buddy owns an Italian restaurant up in Gilderland. So a lot of times we go up there sometimes on a Saturday afternoon, eat and just BS all afternoon.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, right? Yeah. And I'm watching this couple. Now, I don't know if they're married or boyfriend or girlfriend. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know what they were doing the whole time?
Texting, probably. Right?
How'd you know?
They didn't even say
a word to each other. And I'm saying, are they texting each other or are they ignoring each other?
Maybe. I don't know. That's sad. No, seriously, that's sad. When you see a family like that, I mean, it happens all the time when I see that. It's very disheartening because it's like you can't even talk to people. Like, if there's like, where is the connection? It's gone. Like, because everybody's into their phones and it's just really sad.
We're talking, we're very lucky that we've got technology.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking to California.
Definitely,
here, right?
Yes, right.
But on the other hand, being a physical animal, I, to be honest with you, I don't really give a flying, you know what, about it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, when it comes to that, when I'm in the gym or doing anything, you know, activity-wise, it's kind of like, okay, put that down. You know, you're here to, you know, move, like you said, do something, so... Yeah.
Well, this is real good here. Two things. This is interesting, cause especially with the powerlifting. Mm-hmm. What are you doing diet wise? Obviously probably a lot of protein,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
You're getting ready next week, correct, for a meet,
yes.
right?
The bodybuilding show on Saturday.
Okay, at this point. Mm-hmm. Are you starving yourself? What are you doing?
To be honest with you, no. Because like I tell you right now, it seems like my focus is more on the powerlifting meet. So the only honestly thing that I'm doing is I'm manipulating my carbs here and there. And it's really simple. I still have I'll have my protein source, which is usually like some eggs. And then I'll throw in some grits in the morning. And then I'll have a shake as a mid-meal snack. And then lunch, I'll have jasmine rice and some chicken or fish or whatever. And then, you know, for dinner, I'll just have like a salad and my protein source. So I do that, like it's, I guess, a carbing cycle type thing where I do that for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, I'm sorry, I low carb, right? I take off the carb at night for 3 days. Yep. And then on the fourth day, I just put it back in. I have some carb in for dinner, but it's so simple. It just seems to work for me. Like, and I've tried so many things with the bodybuilding where I'm like keto diet and I just feel like crap. I feel bad.
No, that's all right.
I feel bad. And it's just like, it's taken me 10 years to figure out that the simplest things can help.
Yep.
And that's all I do really, to be honest with you. And my strength has still been through the roof. Because for me, that was my main concern, that I didn't want to lose my strength. And that's all I'm doing. The same calorie intake is just taking out the carb source at night every fourth day. And that's it. That's all I do.
Do you eat red meat at all?
I do. I eat like steak. I eat ground beef. Anything. I'm not, I eat anything.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people don't do that. Are you, being you're out in California now, mm-hmm. I'm a big raw milk guy.
Yeah.
Do you drink? Anything, colostrum, raw, are you in any of that?
The only thing I'll have is like maybe some almond milk, and that's because I am a little bit lactose intolerant, a little bit, but I do have like almond milk or coconut milk, and that's the only thing
that
I do
great.
Have,
coconut.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm,
what do you do fat-wise now? I'm a big coconut guy, I drink, do you, what I do is I love just the stuff right in the jar.
Yes.
What I do is I put it in the refrigerator and eat it like white chocolate.
Mm-hmm. I do. I put that in my grits sometimes if I like it. Or even like my cottage cheese at night if I need something.
Yep.
I'll just throw it in there and I'm good to go. That's it, to be honest with you.
Well, you want
to
hear something good? This is great. I like it. I love fat.
Oh, me too. I live off of
and
fat.
I'll tell you a story quick.
Mm.
When I eat fat during the day, mm-hmm. all right, now I'm talking in the morning, I might have a half a dozen eggs. Everything I get is obviously I try to get grass-fed.
Right, right.
So there's a local place I can get bacon if I want it or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's awesome, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I love pumpkin seeds, anything like that. I mean, almonds. I eat that with my breakfast, right? But I eat that coconut,
mm-hmm.
man. I'm eating forkfuls of that, like between, you know, eggs and bacon, right? But what I find is, like, on a lifting day, now I cut off about 2 hours before.
Uh-huh.
I found this butter at a co-op I go to. It's from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
I never used to do this in my life. It makes me go crazy. I'll sit there, open the package up, and I'll take a fork and knife, and I'll cut strips of it. And it's insane. I go out and usually lift, and this isn't placebo either.
Yeah,
usually if I'm eating good fat during the day, I'm like psycho when I go in there, you know?
No, it's agree. Yeah.
It's awesome. No. So it's like people don't realize how good fats are for you, you know?
Yeah, and especially women. I'm just saying women, like when I tell them what I'm eating, that I'm or I have my bag of almonds or my nuts here, my cashews here and there, they're like, how are you eating that? Oh, my God. I'm like, no, you know what? Right. This helps my joints. It gives me my energy. Yep. I feel full. Yep. I mean, I love it. I they don't get it. It's just like this whole low-fat thing. I hate it.
Oh, that's death right there.
Yeah, it is. You know, I agree.
I know this girl. Well, I haven't seen her in a while. She was a long-distance runner. Not big girl at all, okay? She decided to go vegan.
Oh.
she was good for about maybe 10 months, and she started breaking down. Bad, too. She started having a lot of stuff with, you know, foot, shin, all that, knees. Now she smartened up suddenly. I see her one other time. She used to work at a health food store. And I was like, hey, Renee, what's going on? She said... Because last time I talked to her, she wasn't running. That's how bad it got.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I said, how's things going? She goes, well, I started running again. I said, yeah, what did you do? She goes, I went back to eating grass-fed red meat.
That's it.
I was like, what do you know?
Funny.
Yeah. But it took injuries to say, what am I missing in my diet here?
Right,
That suddenly I add back in, and guess what? I'm back out on the trail again.
Right.
And you know, I'm not a big grains guy, you know, any of that stuff. I, like anybody, obviously, I like to go out, and especially being Italian.
Sure.
I got to be very careful, obviously, with starches. But you know something? One small bowl of macaroni to go with my meatballs or my veal.
Right.
It's not going to kill me, and if it's going to, then I'm in the wrong business,
right.
You know? I mean, and I think what happens to people is you put yourself in these situations where you put such pressure on yourself. Now, if I eat a mouthful of that, I'm going to get fat.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
How do you enjoy your life?
You don't. At that point, I don't know. It's sad. Like you said, it's like you're mentally, like, killing yourself because you just feel like, oh, my God, you ate that, and right away you're like, oh, I feel fat already. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why?
I don't know why. But you know, this is a thing that really interests me because we've got a little while still to go.
Okay.
Tell me about the physical therapy because I really admire people that do that because I know that's not an easy job.
No.
And a lot of times you're getting people that have had some serious surgery.
Yeah.
And you're dealing sometimes with a lot of older people, which can be pretty gruff with you.
Yes.
And you've got to have as my mom would say, you got to have the patience of a saint.
You do. No, seriously. Yeah, definitely.
Well, tell me, I know this maybe was the next progression with bodybuilding and powerlifting because you understand how things work.
Yeah.
But what got you, I mean, what got you into wanting to do, you know, physical therapy?
Well, I think it was the personal training. Like we had said before, like I just kind of felt I was doing that and then people's excuses and like the thing about, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that, that kind of got me it got to me. So I figured, okay, so after the military, I figured I need to do something. And, of course, in the medical field because that's what I love to do. I mean, and then I figured, okay, so, you know, what do I love? I love being one-on-one with people, personal training. And I thought, okay, well, let's try physical therapy. And you know what? I loved it. I'm still, like I said, I'm still studying, but I did my first clinical rotation at a skilled nursing facility, and I loved it. Like you said, it's a lot of older people, you know, with some pretty, you know, debilitating diseases and stuff, but it was just nice to get them to stand up and do the smallest little movements. To me, that was very gratifying. So, like, I'm like, wow, like, you know, you just, you know, reached or took a first step, and I just fell in love, you know, and that's where I'm at right now. I would rather work with people like that because it's kind of like the littlest movements. They'll look at you and they'll smile and they'll say thank you, and that means so much to me. So,
yeah, it's very gratifying to be able to help somebody like that. And, you know, being that you look very strong and, you know, well, and, you know, people, you know, you don't realize that, but people admire things like that, you know. I mean, because you've got a story like anybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, especially older people, a lot of people kind of dismiss them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, they've been around and they got a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you get somebody pretty sharp that notices what you are physically besides how nice you are to them.
Yeah.
That's an interesting conversation. And right there, you don't know the impact you could be making on somebody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, all it takes is just listening to them. That's all they want. They want somebody just to listen to and really just be like, and what works for you? Tell me how I can help you. And all you have to do that, and then they answer and you're like, wow. You know, they love you. You build this connection with them, and then, you know, that's it. You can get them to do anything. So,
and that's the thing, because probably a lot of them don't have family.
Yeah, they don't.
You know, and they're very alone. You know, my mother used to always say to all of us, I can remember when we were kids, you know, if you see somebody, smile at them or say hello, because that might be the only person they even talk to today.
Just give them a little bit of
And that's sad, I think.
Yeah, just eye contact. That's all they want, just to, like, acknowledge them and just, like you said, smile or, you know, say hello, good morning. That goes a long way. That goes a really long way. So,
What do you, with therapy, I mean, what do you find, like, if there was ever something that was consistent with older people, what's something that you're always addressing, so to speak?
Just function, like walking, like a gait. I'm always constantly trying to, especially like I tell you, the patients that I was seeing had like, they were dementia patients and Parkinson's. So just taking that first step was really, really hard. But like for me, like I tell you, just watching them just do that is so amazing. I know that's where I want to do. I mean, if I end up somewhere, I definitely want to be in a skilled nursing facility or working with the geriatric population, definitely. Just with the small little functional movements, that's what I want to do. Just gait training is like it can work wonders, you know what I'm saying? So
I mean, and are you working more with people, obviously you said with Parkinson's and stuff like that, but are you working with people that were let's say they went in and had to have their hip done or their knee done or whatever. Mm-hmm. Are you working with a lot of people that way?
Yeah, I am. I had a few patients that were like the total hip and, you know, all the, like you said, the knee surgeries and stuff. But more, it was kind of more like the inpatient where I was at. But yeah, I did see a few of those outpatient with the hips and stuff. But the same thing, you know, just to help them get to stand up again and just put a little weight on that hip and just try to get them to function. Number one is just function for them. So, I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing not only to, you know, you and I are lucky, but, you know, physically, a lot of people take that for granted.
They do. Oof. Yeah, it's sad.
I think sometimes when I get up in the morning, you know how easy it is you get out of bed and you can put your feet on the ground?
Yep.
Just think if you couldn't do that, man. I mean, I take that for granted.
Me too. Just reach over just to, like, turn off your alarm or something small like that is, like, so, like, you take it for granted. You do, really. So.
What do you got? I mean, as far as powerlifting going, you know, we'll wind down with all this.
Okay.
What do you got goal? What are you looking at goal wise next year? What are you thinking?
Okay, well, like I tell you, I'm doing the SPF meet on November 9th, the women's pro am in Sacramento.
Okay.
So I'm actually going for the squat record. There is a squat record of 391 right now at the 123 pound class, which is classic raw. So I've been chasing that for a while. The last time I got 380 Ohio, and then I went 396, but I got called on depth. So definitely I'm going to try to get that back, number one. And I'm also trying to push up my deadlift record because I have it like right now at 429. So I'm going to try to get it up to at least 440. I mean, we'll see. I mean,
you're friggin' awesome. I'm telling you, man. I'm impressed.
I'm trying.
Holy God.
I mean, I'm excited. Like, for sure, you know, deadlift, it's not my favorite, but I know I'm really good at it. So, I mean, you know, but for me, it's the squat. I'm really chasing that 400-pound squat.
Well, you got to have a hell of a strong hip structure to move in that.
Definitely. And I'm small, so I don't know how that works. I'm small. I have small hips, so I guess it's just like I could tell you, it's the activation of
fire,
all the little muscles putting together. It's what it is. Something.
No, that's good though. Yeah. I mean, so will next year? Are you have you looked ahead to 15? Are you going?
Yeah.
Compete quite a bit, you think?
I am actually. So after that, I'm going to actually do the Los Angeles Fit Expo here, and I believe it's February 7th. So that should be right after that. So as soon as I come back from Sacramento, I'll probably start training for that. And also,
Have you been in obviously magazines? Have you been in Muscle and Fitness and stuff like that?
But that's back in when I was doing the figure competitions. But I haven't been in.
Have you been in anything that you want to tell us that people can look you up if they want?
Just Facebook and Instagram, of course. But I'm also with my sponsor Iron Rebel. So with them, I've done a couple photo shoots, but other than that, that's it. I just kind of keep a low key and focus.
That's good though. You know what I mean? You're like the sleeper.
Kind of come
out of nowhere. Boom.
Boom out of nowhere. Yep, that's me.
No, that's awesome. So next year you'll be competing, obviously again. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because I ask everybody. Being I love doing strongman stuff. Mm-hmm. Would you ever want to lift rocks?
Yes. You know what? To be honest, with my first.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would. The first time
I
went.
I wish you lived close to me. I tell you, come over. We go lift some rocks tonight.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, I saw Amy Payne here at Nationals.
Yep.
You know, that was to watch all those women do that. I'm like, I want to do that. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know, maybe just to do one, see where I stand. But that would be fun.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. That would definitely add a whole new dimension.
Yeah,
to you.
I'm sure. I can't wait, actually.
I've talked to a number. We've had power lifters on here. Mm-hmm. We had Burt Underwood on one day, and he was a great guest, man.
I'm sure, yeah.
And we were talking about strongman stuff, mm-hmm. And I said, what are you doing? I said, I know you guys are crossing back and forth. He says, I love what we've been working on is the farmer's walk and the tire flip.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, in my opinion, I think, well, I'm always going to be partial to stones anyways. And I obviously, you need the base. You're not going to ever go anywhere without a squat, deadlift. And I'm more of an overhead guy. Training logs overhead and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you this. The 1-2-3 punch would be, obviously, I love lifting stones, whether you're going to lift them, walk them for distance, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. You can flip a medium to a heavy tire and go.
Yeah.
That could be one. Everybody likes to talk about cardio. Well, I got news for you. You'll be a beast, all right?
That'd be awesome.
And then thirdly, I think the farmer's walk is one of the best things you could ever do.
That's insane. I saw those girls, and I was just like,
wow.
Like, it takes, every technique, strength, everything put together to do that.
Balance.
Yeah.
Susan, you got to have balance with that, like you would believe. And you got to be able to accelerate like the roadrunner.
Fast.
So
I commend those girls. Well, you guys,
everybody. I bet you'd be good at that with how much you're lifting.
I'd love to. Next time, I'll try.
Do you do any overhead stuff?
I haven't, but I mean, like I tell you, I'm really up to anything. As long as it has to do with iron lifting, strength, I'll do it.
That's cool. I that's why, obviously, you've had success and you'll keep on having success, because it's the people that are like, that's not going to help me, or I'm going to get weak doing that. Uh-huh. Those are the ones that are you get away from them. They're failure with a capital F. You know what I mean?
That. Yeah, you got to be open. You have to be open and just willing to try whatever. I mean, it's going to work. It's going to work, period. So.
Well, I think the mental aspect, the more and more we get into these shows,
mm-hmm.
is, when I'm talking to anybody, it starts cutting over to what are you thinking about? What are you attracting? How long are you taking between a set? And what are you thinking about? Are you sitting there texting? Are you sitting there BSing with somebody? Or do you got your eyes just glued to something and you're ready to go? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been around enough athletes, you being an athlete. I mean, How much of the mental end do you think plays into everything you do?
It's huge. Like in the morning, that's the first thing that I do is it's like I envision myself on that platform. The first thing I do, that's for me, it works. And then when I'm at the gym in between my sets, of course, I have my headset in. But, you know, I have my cap down low when I'm training by myself. I'm just focusing on what I need to do, you know, because it is mental. The mind can make the body do whatever it wants. So that's why for me, it's kind of like I have to be ready. Everything has to be perfect. And with the, you know, my mind has to be set, number one. So I'm always really focusing on what my next move is. So, for me, it's 100%.
Do you find like me, I don't know if I want to call it rituals, but, you know, do you have a, like I know like when I squat, all right, like, and I do everything dead stop, so meaning I'm at the bottom of the chute coming out of the rack, all right? Do you find when you're doing stuff, is there a certain way, like, I'll just give me as an example quick. I'll walk up to the bar, obviously. Let's say it's a squat, all right? I'll butt my chest right against the thing and hit it, okay? I use my hands. I'll start twisting a bar. Like, I use Randy Strassen's Buffalo bar.
Oh, wow,
so
yeah.
It's cambered, you know, all that.
Yes, I love that.
So I'm sitting there. Now, this has no knurling either. So I'm sitting there, like, trying to strangle and turn it.
Get in there.
Just keep doing that so I've got the neurological effect.
Right.
I'll stamp my feet. Well, I tap the middle of my forehead against the middle of the bar three times.
Yeah.
I tap my feet pretty hard.
Yeah.
And I'll take three deep breaths and sink the third one. But before I do that, to get everything in alignment and get under that thing, I take my I'll point my feet out and I'll turn them in as far as I can and turn them back out, set under the bar, and explode it off the pins.
Wow.
Now, I guess the question is, do you do like a set of – I mean, I do these rituals to constantly keep me in a path like that. Do you do things like that?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying rituals, but I do when anytime I'm at a powerlifting meet or, you know, training for a big lift. I mean, my coach, Grace Ivanos, she's always there. And you know what? She has to smack me on the shoulders. For me, it's kind of like that torque or that, you know, the smelling salt. That works for me. Because when she's not there or she doesn't smack me, for some reason something goes wrong. But she has to smack me as hard as she can on my shoulders. But that's it. Other than that, I'm good to go. Good to go.
Yeah, but that works for you. So I need to come in and hit my head and stuff and I'm ready to go. No,
yeah, me too.
I mean, that's the whole deal.
Right.
It's funny that, you know, we all got our own way of kind of doing things, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. You know? It has to be that way.
Do you got, as far as we're at the end right now of the show, do you got anything you want to give out? I mean, I know you got Facebook and all that.
Yeah.
Tell the people about your shows if you want to, you know, anything like that, you're welcome to give it, Susan.
Just definitely, I think they're going to have it on bodybuilding.com, the Phoenix Europa, and that's going to be Saturday and Sunday next Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. And then also, I believe it may be on live stream, the SPF Women's Pro-Am, and that's November 9th. At Super Training in Sacramento, but that's pretty much it. That's all.
Okay. I'll give this stuff and then I'll just talk to you at the end. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. You can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com. We've got two announcements. Motivation and Muscle website is pretty much done. I want to thank Eric. He did a beautiful job on it, and we're going to have a brand new Fiorello Barbell company, the FBC main site. Tentatively, it looks like it's all set. We'll be up Monday. Wait to see this. They just blend right into each other. And I just want to thank everybody for the support you've given me for this show. This show is doing phenomenal. We've got, like, Susan today, brand new. We've got a ton of other people that have reached out, or I've reached out to them, that want to come on. And I just can't thank everybody enough for the success of this show. And we're going to keep delivering big, big primetime stuff to you and have people like Susan and other folks on that can give us their experiences and what they're up to. So, Susan, thank you for being on the show. I greatly, greatly appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Eric. It was fun. Anytime you want to do it again, I'm up for it. You just let me know.
Okay.
Cool. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. For Susan Salazar, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank you for listening to the show, and we'll talk.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.